And now we will do the first question and answer in the Heidelberg Catechism. We are actually finishing in our adult class tonight the first answer to this first question. So, number one, what is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, with his precious blood, hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. All right. Well, we are going to go on with our study tonight of the Heidelberg Catechism. And we are coming to a part of that question that is having to do with the deliverance from all the power of the devil. And I would ask everyone to listen very carefully as we consider this tonight, because what we are considering is so important for every one of us. It is so absolutely important. And we're going to begin in God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we just have one verse that we are considering from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and it is verse 11. Let us hear God's word. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We saw in our men's class this afternoon some of the devices that the evil one used and tried to make our Savior fall for his temptations. But praise God, there's no way that he could tempt and defeat our Savior. And our Savior showed that he is indeed the Almighty God and he would not be taken in. Now, there are very, very important for us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He uses so many things in our hearts, in our homes, in our quiet hours, in our times of devotion, in our times of prayer. The devil uses so many things when we go out into the world, when we are around other people in other places. There are so many devices. I would encourage you to study this book by the great Puritan Thomas Brooks, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. If you just studied one of these devices a week, you would gain a tremendous understanding of what is going on in the world. And what a blessing it is to know the truth about ourselves and the truth about all that's going on around us. Now, although we must know our enemy's strategy, yet we must never put him on the same plane with Almighty God. In fact, well over half of the books in our Bible do not even mention his name. Do not mention Satan or the devil. 36 of the 66 books do not have the word Satan or devil in them. So that leaves only 30 books in the Bible that tell us about the evil one. We must not ignore him, but we also must not be consumed with him. Now, the devil's history, the history of the devil's anti-Jehovah campaign, is first mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14. For there, as Lucifer, he asserted his desire to be like the Most High. If you remember Isaiah chapter 14 and you just double it to 28, you go to Ezekiel chapter 28. That's the only way I can remember it, is by doubling Isaiah 14, where Lucifer is desiring to be like the Most High, to be as the Most High. Then in Ezekiel 28, as the king of Tyre, he was described as the anointed covering cherub. What a position he had before he fell. Because do you understand that the cherubim covered the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle and the temple? The wings of the covering cherubim, the two angelic creatures, and he was the anointed covering cherub before he fell. So what a fall it was. He left his first estate by rebellion and is under everlasting chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day, when he and his host will be cast into the lake of fire. The devil began his war against God long before he began his war against man, because man had yet to be created. The devil began his war against humanity in the Garden of Eden, and he has enjoyed so much success in destroying the bodies and souls of multitudes of reprobate people. You think about that. You think about the thousands of years of world history. You think about the pre-flood nations. You think about how the earth was filled, but the earth was filled with violence. And God chose only 8 people to be saved and delivered from that cataclysmic judgment. So I say that the devil enjoyed a large measure of success in his campaign to destroy men's bodies and souls forever. But for Christ's elect children, the devil's head was crushed by the Lamb of God on Calvary's cross, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 that Christ would crush Satan's head for all his blood-bought people. And I thank God that was for me. And you claim that as your own possession by faith. When Christ walked on the earth, he cast out multitudes of demons. On one occasion, when he was accused of casting them out by the power of the devil, the Lord Jesus responded. He spoke of himself as the stronger than the strong man. And the strong man was representing Satan. That the stronger than the strong man would overcome him, would take away his armor and spoil his goods, or take the souls that he had taken captive at his will. Luke chapter 11, verses 19 to 22. The deliverance of Christ's believing people was accomplished when our Savior fully atoned for our sins on the cross. For it was by our sins that the devil wielded dominion over us. It was by our sin that he had dominion over us. And those living under the dominion of sin are living under the dominion of Satan. And we just read a part of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." We're praying for Satan's kingdom to be demolished. So you do not want to be a part of Satan's kingdom. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Through his death, Christ destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And oh, so much of our lifetime was spent in the fear of death. Can you remember those sleepless nights of tossing on the bed, afraid for your soul, because you knew that you were not in Christ and that you were afraid you would die? Praise God that on the cross, our Savior did that great work. Through his death, Christ destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What a blessing it is to be delivered from that bondage. I knew that awful bondage till I was 25 years old. And I'm so thankful to be delivered from that bondage. Our deliverance began at our regeneration. And our deliverance continues by God's almighty power through sanctification as the Lord goes on saving his people from their sins. He that crushed Satan's head by his cross work continues to spoil the evil one by enabling even the weakest saint to trample Satan under his feet. Romans 16, verse 20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Thanks be to God that we now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are delivered, even as we read in our answer to this first question, he delivered me from all the power of the devil and so preserves me. Think with me about being preserved. How wonderful that God preserves the believer. Praise God that the believer does not belong to himself any longer. If we only belong to ourselves, we would have nothing but ourselves in this world of darkness, death, and the curse. We would be all alone, helpless, destitute, and needy. By belonging to Christ, we are cared for by him who bought us at such a dear price. All things belong to Christ, and he turns all things to the good of his people. By the grace of adoption, we have been brought into a family to whom all things work together for good, for our good. Even death belongs to us as a blessed possession. What is death for the believer? It is simply the changing of our location. That we who are in Christ here would be brought to the place of being forever with Christ. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. As our Lord Jesus declared of his sheep, he said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." How do you know if you're one of his sheep? Are you really following Christ? He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any." The word "man" is not in that original text. "Neither shall anything pluck them out of my hands." By his Holy Spirit, he also assures us of eternal life and how wonderful that is. We read there in our answer to that first question that he not only delivered me from all the power of the devil and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. And I say that Brooks' other book, I hold it right here, another Puritan paperback, Heaven on Earth. We sang about it tonight. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. If you have the well-founded assurance of your salvation, then you have a little heaven on earth already begun. The assurance of salvation. And that's what we're looking at now. He assures us. The Holy Spirit assures us of eternal life. So listen very carefully. We live in a world of utter uncertainty. We know not what a day will bring forth in life, in death, in sickness, or in health. The history of the world reveals the uncertain nature even of the nations of the earth. And the empires, as well as the leaders of them. God puts down one and he raises up another. I thought that it was so interesting as a young adult being in Great Britain at different times, seeing the British advertising on billboards and even on those big double-decker buses of what they called life assurance. They sell life assurance, and you can purchase life assurance. And you can purchase health assurance, for they also sell health assurance. And what do they mean? They simply use that term meaning insurance. How bold of humanity to devise schemes of health and life insurance in a world of absolute uncertainty. It is only something that is written on paper or on digital screens, empowered by man's paper and even pretended paper money. And how feeble humanity's efforts are at assuring future care and future benefits. Human contracts are so uncertain. Be sure to read the fine print. But compare feeble man's efforts with real assurance ordained by the only eternal, infinite, triune divine being. He has designed real assurance, not the flimsy assurances of man or the insurances of man. He has real, eternal assurance. God has ordained time and eternity. He controls all things by his exalted, immutable power. Praise his name that he chose for us. He did not choose for the multitude of fallen angels made out of much higher substance than we are made of. My dear cousin, the other day I went to his viewing, lying there in that coffin, and his skin looked so unnatural. I touched it, and it was as cold and as hard as a marble countertop. And we are made of this dust, and we return to dust. The angels were made of celestial substance, much higher than us. But praise God, even though he did not choose to reveal to them any way for their deliverance from their awful fall and from the lake of fire that's awaiting them, praise his name that he chose to communicate with us by his word and spirit. Christ, the eternal word, has spoken even as God the Father spoke through the prophets in ancient times. We rejoice that it pleased the Holy Spirit to move holy men to write down eternal words of truth for our salvation, that into a world of shifting sand and so much change all around us, we see God has spoken unchangeable, unfailing words that are written with absolute certainty. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Listen, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:19. That day star is the Lord Jesus Christ. Pay heed to this light that shines in the dark world. The only light shining into this dark world is the Word of God. Take heed to that light that shines in a dark place until, thank God, I'm so thankful for the day that came in my life and experience when the day dawned and the day star arose in my heart. Praise God. Therefore, all we know of true religion is communicated to us in the scriptures, but no man applies the revealed truth to himself. No man really applies the revealed truth of salvation to himself until the same Holy Spirit that gave the scripture gloriously and graciously moves the heart of the sinner to see that the message is indeed directed to him or to her. Suddenly the sinner sees his own great guilt and danger and knows the certainty that without Christ, he's perishing. At the same moment, he sees the wonderfully sufficient sacrifice that Christ has accomplished for him. In such a moment, the astonished sinner is enabled to trust in Christ alone as his Savior and Lord. It is the Holy Spirit, the sovereign Spirit, that both opens the heart and applies to it the saving gospel. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:3. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. It is so wonderful to have that witness. This witness is wonderful, but it is not enough for some people. They want more. Can they see the change in their life? Has your life been changed by the wonderful, gracious salvation of God? The evidences of grace can be seen in a willingness to obey the Lord, a love for the scriptures that we never had before, a desire to live in righteousness and no longer to delight in sin. When that change comes, we should assure our hearts before Him. John says that we should assure our hearts before Him. If we see the evidence that we desire Him and we do not delight in sin the way we once delighted in sin. Finally, there is a sincere willingness and readiness to live unto the Lord. I'll go back to where we started today. And delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. When that happens to us, we can assure our hearts that we know the Lord, that we have this delight in the law of God. Even when that law shows me that I do not love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and with all my strength, I want to. Even though I fail, I am delighting in the law of God after the inward man. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. This is the true comfort. We delight in Him. We delight in His law. And this delight drives the believer onward to desire more of the Lord and gives a determination to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the true comfort. And a true child of God finds comfort in this. He delights in this comfort and cannot find true comfort anywhere in this world but in belonging to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That finishes the first question. But this brings us to the second question. Let's read that second question together. On page 4. Question number 2. Read with me, please. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Let's read the answer together. 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. And it is the part that I'm going to endeavor to be involved with for some time, that God would use His word that you would know indeed, how great your sins and your miseries actually are. So, how great my sins and miseries are. Lost people, unconverted people, those that know nothing of God's saving grace, lack the true knowledge of how awful their sins and miseries are. The Lord showed us how utterly terrible our sins are. And by reaching that point, we were then ready and desirous to be delivered. Lost people and unconverted people, they have no desire for Christ. They have no desire to seek with all their being eternal salvation. So we'll look just a little until the others join us tonight. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. How can we possibly understand the depth of our sin and misery? It is only by coming to the law of God. Remember what Jesus said? They asked him, Master, what are the two great commandments? And the Lord Jesus said, the first one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Just that one. Now, do we love God with a whole heart? Do you know to love God with a whole heart first means that we acknowledge Him as the perfectly good and only good and the highest good, that He is perfect goodness. And you just think about that. How good God is to you. Okay, when the Lord created the whole creation here, as well as the stars in the heavens, He looked and He saw it and He said, it's good. What was good? Name me one thing that was good, Ridley, that God had made. You tell me one, Lily. What was one good thing that God had made? Levi, do you know one good thing that God had made?
All of us.
He made man, yes. That man was good at that point. What else was good, Ridley? What? The world was? What about the fish? What about the birds?
Everything.
What about the trees? What about the flowers and the grass? All these good things that He made. What was God showing us? He was showing us His goodness. All the things. And why do we get to enjoy them? It's all of His goodness. So for us to understand our sin and misery, we have to think about the one we sinned against. Our high crimes and all of our sins are against the most wonderful, good being. He has shown His goodness. And we sing about it, don't we? In Isaac Watts' hymn, we sing the mighty power of God that filled the earth with what? With food. I would dare say all of us have had some food today. And that didn't just happen. God supplied it. He gave it to us. God is so good. Yes, Ernie?
It's an interesting thought, too, because assuming that you're going to ask questions, if any thoughts or questions. But
yes.
Think about the manifold creation of God. And so it's so diverse and rich, yes, and amazing.
It is, absolutely.
And when you think about what sin does to an individual, sin being the opposite of who God is, it causes you to turn in on yourself.
Yes.
To lose, as it were, diversity, creativity,
yes,
drive, work.
Yes.
And it consumes and destroys itself.
Yes.
And so when we one of the reasons why I think you see, you know, individuals and cultures that begin to collapse when they become consumed with sin. When we personally have sin in our life that's not repented of, yes. You know, like David said, David talked about that, you know, my bones are broken within
yes.
me. I'm dried up. I'm not productive.
Yes.
I'm not full of life and joy.
Restoring to me the joy.
And then that yes. joy enables us to reflect more of the image of God. When you think about, you know, one of the reasons why we train our kids, like, you know, piano, school, work, a diversity of applications, because it's good for them, but it's also
yes.
a reflection of who God is, the creative work and drive and engine for social and cultural
yes.
good is ultimately from the heart a reflection of God at work in us
yes.
you know, as sub-creators reflecting His glory.
God made all things good, and we praise Him for that, and He lets us enjoy it. That is so wonderful. But we must consider who He is, and we don't love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And by nature, we hate one another. You know that when you hit your sibling and you knock them down, you're glad you hurt them. Oh my, may God help us. Let us pray together. Oh Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the great revelation of Thy goodness and Thy love in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, that Thou would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would truly see, that every one of us here would know, all of those that are listening tonight would know of a certainty that their life is hid with Christ in God. Oh Lord, what a blessing it is. What heaven on earth it is to have the assurance of salvation so that we can live or die knowing that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please abide with us. We pray in Jesus' name.